Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of James, or the epistle of James, James chapter 1. Let me just pick up the one verse here, James 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Let's pray. God, we again are thankful we can come to one who is so good, so great, so kind and merciful. We only have to think upon the blessings that you have poured upon us even today. And we thank you again for who you are and what you give. But Lord, you know that we are dependent upon you for every hour of every day. We need your grace. We need your help. We are especially conscious of that when we gather around your word, because we are going to engage in a spiritual exercise. We know that there is always a devil who's active, who wants to take away the seed that is sown. And so we plead, Lord, for your strength, for your help, even to grant us steadfast minds and hearts. Help us to guard our hearts even tonight as we hear your word. And may your word find root in our hearts and our minds. May it produce good fruit in our lives. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If I asked you, why did God make this world? I'm sure the first answer most would give, for his glory. But we can certainly say this as well. He made the world so you and I could enjoy it. Enjoy his gifts of creation. Enjoy good food, hamburgers, pancakes, filet mignon, the full moon, the beautiful sunset. He wants us to enjoy mutual love. He wants us to enjoy the gift of friendships, relational pleasures. God has given us all that to enjoy. And one of the gifts that God has given us to enjoy is the gift of words, the ability to communicate, to talk. The fact that we can communicate tells us that we are human. Animals can't, not really. They can't talk at that deep level of sharing, explaining, or discussing, but we can, and we need to talk. The Bible encourages us to talk. And when we talk, we are reflecting God. We are made in the image of God, and that's one way we reflect God, by relating like God. The Bible has lots of positive things to say about words. Words have tremendous power and influence. Some of the greatest things we do in life will be done by words. But there's another side to the story of words. There's a dark side. Genesis chapter 3 tells us about the fall of man. And every one of us, sooner or later, gets scarred or wounded by words. The Bible even uses that language of weaponry to underscore how words can hurt and injure. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Proverbs 26, verse 19, like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows, so is the man who deceives his neighbor. But our struggle with words are deeper and more profound than just the tongue. We need to remember that we have hearts. The heart is the inner man. And the tongue speaks what it speaks because of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we need a heart change. Unless the heart is changed, unless grace rules our hearts, our tongues will look like jagged swords and wounding arrows. And when our hearts are ruled by love, we speak wholesome words, words that are seasoned with grace and kindness and gentleness. But that's the first place we need to start when we think about redeeming the tongue, or using the tongue that God wants us to use in a way that would glorify and honor him. But something else we can't forget, if we really want to use our tongues well, It might sound strange, but we can't forget our ears. According to God's Word, He wants us to be skillful with the use of our tongues, but also skillful in the use of our ears. We often get in trouble with our tongues, right? Because we don't listen. So put on your ears. And we're going to deal with the ears tonight. Here's what I want us to consider from the Word of God. The premium put upon real listening. The premium put upon real listening. The problem of bad listening. And then the practice of good listening. The premium put upon real listening. When you think of the human ear, it is a remarkable instrument or organ. Someone has described the most sophisticated computer like a concrete mixer compared to the human ear. And you know how it works, don't you? You have the eardrum, and inside that eardrum you have those three little bones, the smallest or tiniest bones in the human body, the anvil, the hammer, the stirrup, and they work together so they can amplify 22 times and they pass on sound to the inner ear. And the main component in the inner ear is called the cochlea. It contains 1,000 or so microscopic hair-like cells, and each of those is tuned to a particular vibration. And the vibrations are converted to electric impulses, which send sounds to the brain for the decoding along 30,000 circuits of auditory nerves. It's an amazing creation of God. And think of what you've heard today. Babies crying, maybe birds singing, children laughing, traffic, doorbells ringing, feet walking, people talking, preachers preaching. And all of those listen experiences are because God made the ear. Proverbs 20, verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God has made them both. And God wants us to use our ears in a way that would honor and glorify Him. He puts a premium upon the ear. And you could argue, couldn't you, almost from any portion of the Word of God, the importance of the ear. I would turn, first of all, to the book of Proverbs. You might turn there yourself and see how often the father, when addressing his son, addresses the matter of hearing. Proverbs 1. Let me show you here, first of all, Proverbs 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, then incline your heart to wisdom. Proverbs 2, 1 through 2. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying, Proverbs 5, 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom, let your ear hear my understanding. Dad wants his son's ears. The difference between a wasted life and a useful life depends on the ear. If you don't listen, you're going to be a fool. The God-fearing dad takes seriously his responsibilities as a father, and he dresses his son's ear. If I don't get your ear, son, you'll make a mess out of your life. That's a characteristic of a fool, isn't it? He doesn't listen. Listening is important for children, but for all of us. There never comes a point in your lives where you can afford to stop listening to God or to others. Others who God brings into your life, who give you godly counsel, your parents, your friends, your pastors, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I always need to have an open listening ear. The proverb says, listen big. It's important. Jesus also put a big emphasis on listening, didn't he? If you turn to the Gospels, Mark chapter 4 in particular, you'll see again that Jesus constantly addressed the ear. Mark 4 verse 9. Here's where you have that parable as well, the parable of the sower, which does put a great emphasis upon hearing. Mark 4, verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then notice that Jesus goes on to teach that important parable, the parable of the sower. You could even call it the parable of ears. Right? The parable of hearing. Everybody hears. Now, that's clear from the parable. He puts it under this architectural metaphor to describe different responses to the gospel. The big common denominator is they all heard. The wayside hearer hears, verse 15 of Mark 4. The stony ground hearer, he hears, verse 16. The thorny ground hearer, he hears, verse 18. But none of them are good listeners. None of them internalize the truth. There's only one good listener. That's the good ground hearer. He heard. He accepted. He believed. He embraced the truth. And the truth went down deep into his soul. That's the kind of hearer God wants us to be. An attentive, reflective, perceptive, good ground hearer. Someone who doesn't just hear with the outer ear, but the inner ear. And someone who just doesn't hear with the emotions, I mean, that's important, but remember the thorny ground hearer, he heard with joy, but he really didn't hear. Not at the deepest level. If you are really listening, there will be changes in your life. If you're really listening to God, there will be changes in your life. It will evidence itself in faith and repentance and a growth in grace. That's why Jesus constantly addressed the ear. Matthew 11, he who has ears, let him hear. Matthew 13, he who has ears, let him hear. Luke 8, verse 18, take heed how you hear. And he's going to be a disciple of Jesus. You have to listen. That's what a disciple is. A good listener. But it doesn't only affect our relationship to God, does it? But to others, people. Go back to the father of Proverbs. He expects his son to listen, and we all need to listen. We need to listen as wives and husbands and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and pastors. The Bible puts a premium upon the listening ear. We see that from the book of Proverbs. We see that from the Gospels, the lips of Jesus. We also see that from the epistles. And I'll make reference to one particular verse, James chapter 1. If you haven't turned there, you can turn there now. See for yourself. When you think of the book of James, you generally think of the tongue, right? The most extensive discourse on the tongue is found in James. James chapter 3. But before James addresses the matter of the tongue and the need for self-mastery over that little member, he makes an appeal to the ears. James 1, verse 19, so then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or anger. James fires off three exhortations, one positive and two negative. The positive, be swift to hear. The negative, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath. He deals with the ears, the tongue, and the emotions. All important, aren't they, in terms of communication? I think James is really using his Old Testament Bible here. Because when you think about it, you can find parallel texts in the wisdom literature of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. For example, slow to speak, Proverbs 13, verse 3, whoever guards his mouth, slow to wrath, Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, swift to hear, Ecclesiastes 5:11, be swift to hear. So I think James is just quoting his Old Testament Bible and making good use of his Bible, but the first thing he tells us is you need to have active ears, not passive ears. Be swift to hear. Most people are quick to talk, right? Motor mouth, Mr. Talkative, that's the characteristic of a fool. Proverbs 18, he shoots off his mouth. James doesn't encourage that. He wants us to be quick with our ears. Sort of like this, children. This analogy came to me. It's like driving your car, or driving a car. You got what? The gas pedal, you got brakes. When it comes to using your ears, think of the gas pedal. Put the pedal to the metal, they say. Quick! Put it to the floor! But when it comes to your mouth, use your brakes. Use your brakes! Put restraint upon your tongue. That's what James wants us to learn. Swift to hear, slow to speak. There's a premium upon listening. How do we know? Well, we know that from the Proverbs. We know that from the Gospels. We know that from the Epistles. James, I'll just reference another place you could turn that, again, puts an emphasis upon the ear, is the book of Revelation 7 times. Jesus addresses the church, "He who has an ear, let him hear," 7 times. Sounds like it's pretty important. Your relationship, my relationship with God will not grow unless we listen. And your relationship with people will not grow unless you listen. A husband-wife relationship will be stagnant if there's no double listening. If there's no mutual listening, it has to be like a ping-pong game. Back and forth. Listening, talking, that's a mark of a good relationship. The premium upon listening. Secondly, the problem of not listening or bad listening. The premium upon real listening. The problem of not listening or bad listening. I remember reading excerpts from 2 interviews with Dr. John Piper and Dr. John MacArthur, and they were asked questions: if they could go back in their ministries and do it all over again, what would they change? Interesting how both men responded. Dr. Piper says, "It's clear to me the most important thing has to do with my children and my wife. I could do better as a father." He said, "I took them to soccer games. I tucked them in at night every night. I was faithful in those regards, but I rarely drew them out at an affectional level. I never asked them questions. I very rarely asked them questions." Dr. MacArthur says, "I was too busy studying. Preoccupied was a big joke in my family. Calling Dad, they would actually wave their fingers across my face even while I sat there. It wasn't easy to engage." Dads have problems listening. I think it's almost proverbial. Men in the fog. We all can struggle when it comes to being good listeners, even the best of men. What's the problem, Dad? Well, to understand the problem with your ears, it really goes back to the same problem with your tongue. It's a heart problem. That's where you have to start. The Bible speaks of those who don't listen very well. The scoffer and the scorner and the fool. And they are dominated and ruled by sin, but sin remains in all of us, doesn't it? So we all have struggles when it comes to communication, but probably the big sin that plagues our talking the most and the big sin that plagues our hearing the most is pride. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. Pride has quite a history. It predates Adam and Eve. The devil himself suffered his downfall because of pride, but we all struggle with it, and if you don't think you do, you're kidding yourself. It follows us everywhere, even into our closets, prayer closets. Remember the Pharisee? I mean, talk about a proud guy. "I thank ye thee that I'm not like that guy," and then he goes on bragging about how good he is. Pride wants preeminence. Again, the Pharisees were probably the proudest people who ever walked on planet Earth. They loved the chief seats, the most important places. But here's what you should note about pride. Pride loves to talk and doesn't like to listen. Listening puts you in the posture of a learner. Listening requires a measure of humility. Think of Pharaoh. Talk about a proud guy. Consumed with pride. He couldn't listen to Moses, could he? And so what did God have to do with that proud guy? He had to take the sledgehammer and bang him with a few providential events. God resists the proud. But he wouldn't listen. And it's not just the unregenerate man that has problems with listening. As I said, think of Jesus' disciples. They had problems listening. I mean, Jesus told them en route to Jerusalem 3 times, very plainly, clearly, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer, and then I'm going to be raised on the 3rd day, but they didn't hear him. And why didn't they hear him? Because of their pride and their selfishness, and they were consumed with their own agenda. A dead Messiah didn't fit their plans and their self-promotion and their so-called utopia kingdom that they thought was coming their way. Pride's a great killer, brethren, when it comes to communicating and impacts our tongues and our ears. You know what else? It creates poor listening habits. Busyness. We just don't have time. At least that's how we think. We're governed by the tyranny of the urgent. Missionary Jim Elliot wrote, the devil has made it his business to monopolize 3 things, 3 elements, noise, hurry, and crowds. It's getting difficult, isn't it, to escape a noisy world and a cacophony of noise and a crazy, busy lifestyle. We can do more than our forefathers could ever do because of opportunities and money. And we can go here and we can go there and we can have hobbies and we can have entertainment and we can do this and we can do that. And the busy husband never kind of stops to listen to his wife. He's going out the door for his next golf game. He hasn't got time to listen to his children or have meaningful communication. And everybody's got earplugs in their ears today. How can you hear them? There's no interplay. Busy. And I don't think we can hide behind that, because if you think who's the busiest man in the Bible, it was Jesus. But Jesus always had time for people. He always had time for God. He spent time with God. He was always talking to God. He was listening to God, but he was always listening to people. The cries of the poor beggars, the poor lepers, he always heard them. When it comes to listening, why do we have so many problems? Well, sin, pride, busyness, you know, another killer that creates bad listening habits? Worry. Fear. Jesus warned us about that sin, didn't he? 3 times he addresses it in that famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. 3 shotgun blasts, 3 imperatives. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And he knows how worry can ensnare all of us. And so he warns us and he tells us that you need to be thinking about God, your father who cares for you. He cares for you more than the birds and the flowers. Jesus knows that worry can keep us from listening to God. And worry can keep us from listening to other people. Think of Martha. What a flesh and blood worrier she was. You have to admire her. She was a lover of hospitality. But when we visit her in Luke chapter 10, she's not smiling. She looks quite grumpy, in fact. She's angry with her sister Mary. She's not sitting at the feet of Jesus, is she? Listening. Mary was. Not Martha. What's your problem? Jesus tells her, you are worried and troubled about many things. I sometimes like to, I've never done this, but maybe I'll do it tonight. just stop in the midst of a sermon and say, are you listening? Or are you worrying? Are you listening? Or are you worrying? Worry can keep us from listening to God and from listening to others. The premium upon listening, the problem of bad listening, and then thirdly, the practice of good listening, or listening the Christian way or the gospel way. Every Christian wants to be a better listener. We all realize that a lot of tension or conflict in relationships with the best of people can be traced back to the fact that we weren't listening. And so when it comes to improving our listening habits, what can we do? Well, again, you have to start where the Bible starts or where we should start. That's with the heart. A good heart will produce a good tongue, and a good heart will produce good ears. And that might be just indication that you're not a Christian because you can't listen. Need a change of heart. But even with the best of hearts, even with new hearts, we struggle, don't we, when it comes to communication. We can so easily settle into bad patterns of communication. But the good news is that we have grace. We have a wonderful supply of grace. And certainly that's what we need. We need to remember that grace changes us. And if you want to look at a beautiful picture of grace, Galatians chapter 5, it's set before us under the analogy of fruit, ninefold fruit here, the fruit of the Spirit. And here Paul tells us what these graces are that every Christian has. No one can say, I don't have them. If you're a Christian, what heads the list? Well, it's love and then joy and then peace and then kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we need all of those graces to communicate. I'll touch on a few. You need love. Love does not seek its own. Love is not selfish. Love is not rude. Love doesn't interrupt when someone else is talking. Love is a grace we need if we're going to listen. Another grace you need is humility. Especially if the person who's talking to you isn't saying something that you like to hear. Well, what if they come with criticism? Well, what happens oftentimes is we slip into a defensive mode, shut down our ears. Pride often summons our inner defense lawyer. Pride can interrupt. Pride can blame shift. To be good listeners, you need grace. You need love. You need humility. You also need the grace of patience and self-control. Think of what dads and mums have to do every day. You have children who have lots of questions. Someone has said a child at the age of 5 or 6 can ask 100 questions a day. Who has patience enough for that? Well, if you're a Christian, you should. I never forget what my younger brother said in paying tribute to my mother at her funeral. He said, growing up when I was 14, 15, 16, my best friend was my mother. He said, I could come home any time of the night. She was always awake. I'd sit on the bed and she'd listen to me while my dad was snoring. Moms tend to be good listeners. The best of listeners. And it's easy to pretend we're listening when we're not. Dads can be particularly good at that. Go ask your mother. Did you clean your bedroom? Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Well, why was Jesus so accessible? Why did even children get up on his lap? I think because Jesus was a good listener. How do we become better listeners? Well, we need the gospel. We need new hearts. We need to cultivate grace. But thirdly, in terms of the practice of good listening, we need to imitate God. Ever think about that? God's the best communicator there is. I mean, God speaks. He's a great talker, but He's a great listener. Well, we wouldn't be able to pray, could we, if we didn't have a God who listened. He constantly listens to us. He's keenly aware of us every day of our lives. His ears are always open to our cries, even our groans and our sighs. Remember what God's people were experiencing under that cruel Pharaoh, and what do we read in Exodus 2? God heard their groaning. Sometimes we don't think God's listening. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we make complaints. You hear that in the Bible. Why are you so far from helping me? Why have you forsaken me? But don't think for a moment He doesn't hear. Because He does. Psalm 139 says, He hears even before you speak the words. He knows what you're going to say. So He hears. Never be in doubt about that. God's a good listener. He's a perfect listener. And we're to be like God. Be imitators of God as dear children, Ephesians 5. That's the model. And certainly we have Jesus Himself, right? The flesh and blood model. He was, again, the perfect listener. Doesn't matter who came to Him. Doesn't matter how messed up they were. It didn't matter how poor they were, how morally, ethically debased they were. He always listened. And listen to those 12 guys called disciples who weren't all that easy to listen to. Chronic problems. He even listened to His enemies, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, they can complain about Jesus, but a lot of things, but they never said He's a poor listener. He always heard them. The practice of good listening demands a change of heart. It demands a cultivation of grace. It demands we imitate God. Fourthly, and this is, I think, the final thing we can say about good listening and how do we cultivate good listening. You need to cry for help. Cry for help. We need to make use of prayer. I think it was Paul Tripp who said the three great lessons he's learned in terms of communication is talk, 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 listen, 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 and pray, pray, pray. We need to be constantly communicating. We need to be listening, but we need to be praying. We need help. The humble man prays for help. He knows he needs wisdom. It takes a lot of wisdom, doesn't it, when it comes to the use of the tongue and when it comes to the use of the ears. We don't think that way, but we should. Listening requires not just listening to words, but listening sometimes to people's emotions, the tone of their voice. Sometimes even body language can betray something more than just the words. A tear in the eye, a scowl in the face. Remember, God picked up on Cain's body language. Cain, why are you angry? And sometimes people come with questions, but there's really some other issues behind the questions, and the wise man has to dig deeper. It's been said that, I read this somewhere, that 500 of the most commonly used words in the English language can have 28,000 different meanings. Right? And it can change just by the way you say it. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. What does that mean, I'm leaving? Well, I'm going out the door. I'm leaving. You ready? There's a sense of urgency. I'm leaving. Get ready. It could mean I'm out of here for good. I'm leaving. Divorcing you. Different, same word, but it can mean a lot of different things. And wisdom has to discern what does that person mean by that word that they use. That's why James, before he talks about the tongue and before he talks about the ears, you know, he talks about wisdom. He who lacks wisdom asks God, who loves to give liberally, generously. You lack wisdom. I do this more than I ever have in my life. When I have to make a difficult phone call, I say, Lord, help me. I don't know what's on the other end, but please help me. I don't know what to say. how to say it, but help me, give me wisdom to speak, but to talk and to listen. Help me to use my words wisely, carefully. And one other thing I would say about listening. It's a great way to serve Christ. Listening is a wonderful ministry. Listening takes sacrifice. Listening's costly. Listening means you're investing in somebody else. It requires a servant-like attitude. You need a towel and a basin to be a good listener. You can minister to people by simply putting on your ears. That's right. Putting on your ears and standing in front of the cross and realizing that it's a small sacrifice when I think of what He paid to save me from my sins. But we can minister to people. We can give ourselves, brethren, to a gospel or a Christian kind of listening. And we're certainly commanded by Jesus to do so. We see it exemplified in His life. But we need grace, don't we, to be good listeners. May God help us to listen well. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word, for its practical teaching that helps us to live, to be light and salt in this world. We ask You to help us, Lord, especially when it comes to communication, how we speak and how we listen. Help us to learn more of imitating You. Help us to have more of that grace that will enable us, Lord, to be like Your Son. We do pray, Lord, that we will grow in the ways in which we do communicate. Give us, again, more of the love and humility and patience and all of those other graces that will help us to communicate in a way that glorifies You and brings good to men's souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.